The journey to see what God will not allow. What God will not allow. Oh, by the way, hi, Eric Willis. Great to have you back, my friend. A lot of prayers went up for you. Great to have you. Fanny took good care of you, didn't she? Yeah. What God will not allow. God will not allow anything to affect your life that would pull you away from Him. Now, you want to get someone in trouble, get somebody around you that you know that they're in the wrong and they're trying to lead you astray away from God, that person's in trouble. You need to be praying for them because God's not going to allow that. See, God says, you belong to me. Satan does not have the power nor the authority. God will not allow him to take me out of the hand of my Savior who is holding me. That's his promise. He says, your family, I love you. And God will not allow me to be taken away from my Savior. Oh, a lot of people get upset because say, yeah, but you're a typical Baptist. You believe in once saved, always saved. I don't just believe it, I know it. Amen. Folks, my Savior loves me. And he said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I call on him all the time. Amen. Once you know him, you're going to mention his name a whole lot. Once he becomes a part of you, you become a part of him. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will not allow that to take place. Larry, I don't care whether you're in the jungles of Vietnam or where you are, what battlefront, I am going to be there with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I will never allow any situation or any army or any other human being or any evil to overtake you. That's a promise. Well, then why do we keep falling? Well, we're human. We have a bad case of the stupids, a whole lot of human beings. We just do dumb things. Any of you ever not do anything dumb? Oh, don't raise your hand, please. We have done foolish things within our life. But when I was saved, Brother Randy, just like you, same way, same Lord, when I was saved, at the point Jesus saved me and that I accepted him, he knew all the dumb things I was going to do around the bend, up the road of life, and he saved me anyway. He died for me on the cross. He died for you on the cross. He will not allow the world to take away the power of the cross.
That's right.
The power of the blood that was shed for you. He'll not allow it. God says, I'm in charge. I serve a living God who not only sees the great expanse of all his creation, which continues to be created at the faster than the speed of light, continually. And every star that exists in all creation, not only did God create them, he named them and remembers their name. Each star. Folks, I got one son. Sometimes I forget his name. You see what I'm getting at? God says, I will not allow life, I will not allow anything in life to pull you from my love. God says, I just love you. I love you like you are. He didn't say, Larry, you clean your act up and I love you. He said, I love you like you are. Call on me. I called on him. Do you know my Lord has never turned his back on me? Not even during those bad, bad cases of the stupids in my life. Jesus always puts his arms back around me. You see, he won't walk away when life threatens you. Life is hard. You getting to realize that? Situations in life can pull people down. Many people committing suicide because of life. They fear life, living more than death. God says, I will not allow the power of life to overshadow you. Okay, then what's going on? Do we call on the name of the Lord during these situations? Think of it. God says, I will not allow my son to rot in the grave. I'll not allow my son to rot in the grave. Now, what's he showing us? Everything you see going on with Jesus is what he will do for you and for me. Don't we get it? Jesus said that. Jesus said, the things you've seen me do, I'm going to go be with the Father and I'm going to be watching over you. And the things you've seen me do, you can do those. And then he adds, you can even do greater things than you've seen me do. Because I am going to be in you. So what's our problem? Our problem is focus. God says, focus on me. When the problems of life hit you, I don't care whether it's these stupid cancers or what they are, when they hit you, you have to really watch yourself because it will take away your focus from your Savior. You'll be focused on, oh, Lord, why me? Why do I hurt so bad with these things? What is going on? What have I done? So, you know, that old pitiful stuff that you see. Why couldn't you give a little of this pain to Randy Kidder? Jesus says there's a good reason for that, Brother Randy. Larry, I'll take it all for you. I don't need to give it to others. I see that now. Oh, it hurts, folks. Trust me. The pain can get horrible. But I got a Jesus that says, I'm not going to allow anything to stop my message. I've said this to my family and to those who talk to me a lot. You may have heard me say this. The time period that I have right here in this pulpit is the greatest release of pain time period. That's why sometimes my sermon might be a little long. Because when I'm preaching God's word, all the rest of it is set to the side. I yearn for this hour period right here in this pit. Because here is where Christ says, preach my word. And he will not allow pain of cancers, pain of life, anything else to interfere with the preaching, delivering of his word. He ain't got time for it. He's got time for me. He's got time for you. But he said, I will not even allow my son's body to rot in the grave. Not going to happen. Not only that, I will not allow one bone to be broken in his body. Did you remember that one? On the cross, they went to break their legs. And they said, but he's already dead. No need to break them. Why, man, I feel sorry for that Roman soldier to try to break those legs. Those legs have carried me. They've carried you. They'll carry your children. They'll carry the whole universe. Those legs are the legs of God. God walking with man. God says, here's something I won't allow. I won't allow evil in my home. Now you listen to me. When we talk about going to heaven, you're talking about going into the home of God where he abides. You're going into the abode of God, God's house. I'm not talking about the heavens you're looking at here. I'm talking about where God lives. And God says, I have never allowed evil. Sin cannot enter where God is. And know, for those of you who have heard him preaching and teaching about, you know, Satan must have been Jesus' brother. The only brothers and sisters Jesus has are the adopted ones that you and me, the human race. We are his family. And he has chosen us. Call on my name. Evil cannot live where God is. It cannot sustain its strength as being evil in the presence of God. It can't enter. So God says, I want you to know this. Anything coming at you which goes against my teachings and my word, I am here to protect you from. He says, I'm going to show you that. I'll show you, give you proof of what I will do for your life. He's talking to us. Listen to me. What I'll do for your life. And I will use my son as an example for you. I won't allow this. My son is going to rise in 3 days. 3 days, up comes Jesus. My son's going to die on that cross for you. Jesus died on that cross for me. One of those stripes had my name on it. Jesus died for me. He died for you. He gave it all. And he says, now this is what I want you to do for your fellow man. Love like I have loved you. Take the love that I've placed in your heart and share that love with others. Let them know I'm in control. Not the world. Not a human government. But God Almighty. And I will not allow. Listen to Acts 13:35. Another psalm explains it more fully. You will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Well, this body is already rotting with the cancers and all the other stuff, okay? I'm already in a dying mode. Now, don't get too excited. Remember, my mother's 105 before she died. I might stick around to 110 just to aggravate some of you. God says, I will never allow you. You know who you is? That's that part of you inside. That's that spirit that nobody can touch. That spirit that only God can touch and control and speak to you. That's that voice that you hear that people call a conscience. No, Christian, listen to me. You are real, and God gives you this physical body to use on planet Earth, to walk around with. You ain't going to need it where you're going. You got something better coming. You got a body that God is going to glorify, and he said, I promise you this. I will give you the body of my son, glorified body. Now, foolishly, as a human being, I looked at that and reading it and studying it all of these years, and I think, man, ain't that awesome? Now, like a human being, I got excited, Brother Randy, over the idea of Jesus just walk right through a door. I think, gosh, Larry, you ought to be sharper than just to focus on that one. Well, that's pretty tough, though, wasn't it? Jesus would appear, and Jesus would be where he needed to be. He says, I want you to know something. I will not allow anything in this world of all creation to take from you what I have promised. Jesus will not allow one of his promises not to be kept. He won't allow that. When Jesus says it, count on it. What he tells you is going to happen, count on it. What his holy word says, count on it. I read the book. Read the last chapter. Read the book of Revelation. I read it. I read the book. Jesus wins. I know already that I'm on the winning team. But folks, I don't even need that to know that. You see, I know that Jesus loves me. We sang it, don't we? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible does tell me so. Jesus says, I love you like you are, and I will not allow the world to take you from my sight. I belong to Jesus. Now look, by the time I end up in that casket, I'm going to be rough and worn. Vietnam and Dominican Republic combat's nothing compared to life in general. But who you will be looking at won't be there. But the body that I used on planet Earth, you're going to commit back to the dust, because God has told us to. It's where it came from. You're going to be doing that. But he will not allow me, the real me in here, to see death. He says, I won't allow you to see death, Larry. So, I'll be praising and shouting. Some of my enemies might be praising and shouting. I want you to be happy. I want you to understand something. What I have preached for going on 50 years is the truth. Jesus loves me. This I know. And all the promises you'll find in Scripture he made to his children. And that's why he tells us to pray for our enemies, for they're in trouble with God. Listen to this one. God will not allow our temptations, here's a good one, to be stronger than our escape route. I want you to picture this. You know, as you're aging, as life starts coming in at ages, you know, whether they're the 17, 18, sorry, Hunter, I got stuck on the age group here. But as you're traveling, as you're going, the lights of the big city, oh, man, they start looking pretty good. I mean, they'll hypnotize you. All the excitement, all the dancing around, all the happy drinking and everything else going on, and everybody seeming so happy, and you're headed for it. Let's say you're on I-65, and you're headed north, going to the big city, going to the nightlife, going to the world, and have just a taste of it. I don't know how many exit ramps there are on I-65, but folks, there's a lot of them. Now, I want you to picture, you got your eyes on the bright lights of the world, and I want you to picture each one of those exits an opportunity to turn around. An opportunity to turn around. God says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, the temptations in your life, well, they are no different from others' experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Well, guess who that puts it back on? When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Take exit 94, Larry. Oh, Lord, can't you see the horizon and all those beautiful lights? They just a flashing, calling my name. Take the exit, Larry. You take the exit. You have just turned around from the temptation that could destroy you as a human being, could break you. Do you know what a lot of our problems are in life? They are the thoughts of what we did through life, of, you know, thinking back, oh, I wished I hadn't have done that. I wished I hadn't have done that. You know, if I thought about everything that I wished I hadn't done, I wouldn't be able to think about anything that I believe was good that I did do, because that's life. It beats us, and it pesters us, and it tricks us. And God says, I will not allow it. So you have been given the free will. Each of us. I give you the freedom, Larry. I don't want you to go, here's an exit. Take it. But I will not make you be terrified of governments who make you do anything. Be terrified of powers that want to tell you this is how you're going to think. The God of the universe doesn't even do that. He gives you the free will. My freedom was given to me by Almighty God through Jesus Christ, not by the power of man. And he says, now, I give you the free will. And Larry, I'll be there to pick you up when you had a case of the stupids with that free will. Oh, that's love, don't you think? That's forgiveness. Don't we understand? God says it's a journey. But some a lot of things on your journey, he says, I will not allow. I will not allow Satan to ever, ever have the authority on anything, any kind of lights or anything else to pull you out of my hands. Where you go, I'll go. I'll be with you. You see, Jesus is here to clean us up. I can't get clean on my own. Turn over too many leaves in that new. I'm turning over a new leaf. And you have volumes in your home. If you had all those leaves, you got volumes of those new leaves you turned over. Man, you messed that up, didn't you? The Lord says, turn yourself over to me. Hey, Larry. The exit's there for a reason. Take it. I'm told by Scripture to run. Run from it. Yep. Then I'm going to stand toe-to-toe with that temptation. Do not be foolish, folks. That temptation will destroy you. Stand toe-to-toe. Knocks at your door. You're laying on the couch. You keep laying there and say, Lord, would you get that door for me? Let them confront the Savior that saved you. God will not allow anything in your life to be blessed that's a cursing. Now listen, you cannot have your favored sin and say, God, will you bless this one? No, he'll bless you. But the sin, God hates, because sin is just like a cancer. It rots the spirit of man. And God says, I love you. I don't want you to be destroyed. I don't want you to have to feel that pain. I'll stand with you. I'll lead you. I will always be there for you. You know something else that God won't allow? He won't allow me to be a recipient of his wrath. I can never receive the wrath of God. Folks, did I tell you, you don't even want to be in the same universe with the wrath of God. When God speaks in wrath, God clears the slate. God's already won. He's the creator of all that exists. It doesn't matter to me with what all these people say, there is no God, or, you know, it could be the aliens from Mars. And all of this stuff. Now, I do believe that many have been around angels and not realizing that. The Bible tells us that. God has a guard over you. Every child of God has angels watching over them. Boy, we give them a workout, don't we? Huh? Did you ever think of that? Yeah. Good Lord, am I supposed to pray for my angel? Because I know good and well, just knowing myself, that they got their hands full. They can handle it. Because God knows the human nature of you. And Satan has had 7,000 years more experience with human nature than you've had. That's why you're going to lose when you stand toe-to-toe. Satan, come to the door. I'm leaving. Let him deal with Jesus. Well, last time I remember, Brother Randy, he tried that stuff. He got kicked out. Yep. God says, I will not allow my wrath to be a part of your existence. Listen to Romans 5, 9 and 10. Much more then, having now been justified, how? By his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm not worried about your wrath. I've been chewed out by the best of them. Yelled at, cursed at, and everything else. And that wasn't just the Marine Corps either. You see, God says, you'll never experience my wrath. I'm part of the family. And God says, I protect my family. I died for my family. I came down to you in human form as my son. My son represents what I would look like. But you see, God is spirit. God is spirit. And he says, I must be worshiped in spirit. And then he said, and in truth, meaning through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. Therefore, worshiping God through Jesus, I can picture Jesus, but you know, I wasn't there to see him. Didn't have to be. He came into my heart. Did I see him physically? Did he appear to me at the bottom of the bed or wherever? No. No. But I knew it was him. And I said, yes. Lord, here am I. And he said, okay. So I'm your brother. And I love you. And each of us as brothers and sisters are obliged to tell the truth. God puts a stop to anything that is going to separate you or harm you to the point of utter death. God says, no, I won't allow it. So who allows the foolishness? Only you can, because you have the free will. Now that I'm saved, I have actually limited free will. But what makes the difference? It's not keeping rules. It's not. It never worked. That's religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, listen to me. Listen to him, folks. God will not allow the guilty to escape their punishment. Here's why you better listen. Hebrews 10:9. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant, the cross, that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? That's called blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. None of you have committed the unpardonable sin yet. How do I know? You're here. Or you're listening. If you had, you wouldn't be here, nor would you be listening. So therefore, Jesus says, welcome home. But there's a lot of things I will not allow any more than any parent. You're not going to allow anything that's going to hurt your child. God goes deeper. Everything that exists, exists for the benefit of his greatest of creation, you and me. Believe it. Because the message doesn't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for blessings, the joy of salvation. And Father, that you're completely in control and you're in charge. Father, we ask for the blessing upon each one today. Touch each heart, touch each life. Give each individual, Father, that special anointing of knowing that you are with them. Thank you for inviting us to come in, Father. Thank us for loving us so much that you sent Jesus and you stood back and watched what they did to your son because of us. I praise your name for that, Father, and ask you to give each of us the strength to carry through with the power that only you can give us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.